From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Tuesday, August 9th. Here are today's headlines.
Another 100 doses of the monkeypox vaccine could be heading to Vermont as early as next week. Right now, Vermont has just over 80 doses. Those are reserved for people exposed to a confirmed case and those with potential exposure who are at high risk. Vermont has a single confirmed case of the virus, though it's likely more cases are going undetected, according to the health department. Risk to the general public remains low, but men who have sex with men are at higher risk of coming into contact with the virus. Most monkeypox patients recover in a couple weeks, but the disease can be uncomfortable and painful.
Many small businesses may have to ask their employees to pay more for their health care coverage or accept a policy with larger deductibles and co-payments. Last week, the Green Mountain Care Board approved double-digit rate increases for Blue Cross Blue Shield and MVP Healthcare. Vermont's health care advocate Michael Fisher says that means many small businesses will face some difficult choices.
Could for some result in the decision not to buy health insurance, but also could result in people buying lower and lower value plans. That is, they're saving a little bit of money on their premiums, but they're stuck with larger and larger deductibles.
Meanwhile, Fisher says he believes that most people in Vermont's individual market will be able to avoid significant rate hikes because Congress will likely pass a bill later this week that extends federal subsidies for some insurance plans.
The Vermont Historical Society has received a grant to create an oral history of the pandemic. Over 100 stories from first responders, healthcare workers, educators, and others will be included in the project. Amanda K. Gustin with the Historical Society encourages anyone who wants to donate their story to reach out.
Vermonters will be able to listen to these interviews through the podcast or through listening to the archive, and I think maybe connect to other Vermonters about their experiences of the last few years, really understand what a shared experience this was.
The project is expected to be finished by next winter.
Coming up, a preview of today's primary election. That's after this. Primary election day is upon us. After months of campaigning, statewide and local candidates will find out if they'll be chosen to compete in the November general election. And there are an unusually large number of contested primaries this year. Senior political correspondent Bob Kinzel spoke with our colleague Mitch Wortlieb to give a sense of the lay of the land going into today's election.
Well, it seems like there are a lot more contested races this year than in many other primary elections in Vermont. Why, Bob, is this such a hyper-competitive year in Vermont politics?
Mitch, for the statewide races, I call it the Leahy effect. And when longtime Senator Patrick Leahy announced back in November he would not seek a ninth term in the U.S. Senate, it created a very rare opening in Vermont's congressional delegation. I mean, vacancies for the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House in Vermont just don't happen very often. For instance, Leahy was first elected in 1974. That was 48 years ago. Bernie Sanders was first elected to the Senate in 2006. That was the same year that Peter Welch was elected to the U.S. House. Then Welch announced he'd be running for Leahy's Senate seat. That opened up his House race as well. And then Lieutenant Governor Molly Gray announced she was running for Welch's vacant office. That opened up the race for Lieutenant Governor. So there was a real domino effect from Leahy's decision. Now, at the same time, Mitch, a large number, much larger than normal, of state House veterans decided to step down this year. In the Vermont House, a majority of committee chairs won't be back in January. Same thing over in the Senate. The leadership will change because Senate President Pro Tem Becca Ballant is running for the U.S. House seat. And as I mentioned, Lieutenant Governor Molly Gray is also seeking that office. So there are a lot of contested races, both at the statewide level and the legislative level.
Lots of opportunity out there. So, Bob, what kind of turnout are election officials expecting when all the votes are counted?
You know, I think many people think the turnout will be higher than normal for several reasons. One, as we've just discussed, this very large number of contested races. voters are interested in contested races. This is what drives primary turnout. And the candidates themselves are also working to boost turnout. So some of these races could be decided by just a couple of thousand votes. So turnout is very important. And I also would notice that early voting statistics have been very strong. Mitch, I think it's likely that as many as 50% of all the people who vote in this primary election will cast an early ballot. I mean, they've been voting for the last 45 days. All of this points to a pretty strong turnout, but should mention that turnout will be considerably less than the turnout for a general election. And usually when there are a number of contested primaries in both the Republican and Democratic parties, the turnout is roughly 120,000 voters, with about twice as many people voting in the Democratic primary than in the Republican primary. So that's a really good benchmark for tonight. If overall turnout is larger than 120,000 people, then it will be viewed as an election that voters had a lot of interest in.
Something that's very different, too, in the primary election is the process of voting. So I think it's worth going over what that is, Bob. There are three ballots because there are three major political parties in Vermont, the Democratic Party, Republican Party, and Progressive Parties. But a voter fills out only one of these ballots. Why is that, and why is it critical as well that voters follow the rule of filling out one ballot but returning all three?
So here's how it works. A voter is handed three ballots, one for each party. You choose one, fill it out, put it in a special envelope, and sign it. And then you take the other two ballots and put them in a different envelope. They are ultimately discarded. And I should mention, Mitch, that polls in Vermont open at different times today. In some towns, the poll opened at 7 a.m. In other towns, polls might not open until 10 a.m., but all towns must stay open until 7 p.m. tonight. That's a statewide rule. And just one other thought, maybe a person got sent an early ballot, but they haven't sent it back yet. Well, it's too late to mail it back, but you can bring it with you to your local polling place today and drop it off and have it counted.
Well, Bob, in the Democratic primary, there are highly contested races for the U.S. House, as you mentioned, lieutenant governor, attorney general, secretary of state, all those contested races. What will you be watching for as the returns come in?
Will those election results give us a sense of the overall direction of the Democratic Party? Will the progressive wing of the party be successful in winning a number of these contested races, or will Democratic voters choose some of the more moderate candidates? Now, Bernie Sanders has endorsed some candidates this year in the Democratic primary. Will this endorsement affect the outcome of these races, or perhaps not? Are voters in the Democratic primary going to support the return of former Lieutenant Governor David Zuckerman in that race? And we'll be watching how some of the more moderate candidates do. Former Governors Madeleine Kuhnen and Howard Dean have both endorsed candidates in some of these primaries. How much will these endorsements help? So I think the results tonight of some of these races will give us a good sense of the future direction of the Democratic Party.
And what will you be watching on the Republican side of things?
I think the major question here might be, Mitch, how strong is the Trump wing of the GOP? We know there's a split in the party, but how strong is it? And I think the results of the GOP U.S. Senate race and the contest for lieutenant governor will be good indicators because both races have pro-Trump candidates running against more moderate mainstream Republican candidates. How close will these races be? I don't think anybody knows for sure. And one key factor might be, what do the so-called Phil Scott Republicans do? They're very anti-Trump. Do they turn out to support the more moderate GOP candidates? Do some of these people choose to vote perhaps in the Democratic primary? Or maybe they don't vote at all. Now, back in the 2016 and 2020 presidential elections, Donald Trump received roughly 30% of the vote in Vermont. So there's a sizable GOP base out there. It's going to be fascinating to see the results tonight.
That was Bob Kinzel speaking with Mitch Wortlieb.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency. Today, we had additional reporting from Marlon Hyde and Lexi Krupp.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you tomorrow, and don't forget to vote.